Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks again for listening to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Before we get into our main segment this evening, why don't we first start by getting some of the basic housekeeping out of the way. So, if you are interested in purchasing or possibly reviewing any of my books, the best place to go to that would be my website, www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. And on that website, you will see 8 books and a CD. And from there, I've got descriptions about them. But I would say probably the most interesting book that I've written so far would be book number 8, which is called Manifestations, because that has 4 books in that one single book. That's also probably your best deal. Very educational, very intriguing, and I think that it would bring your thoughts about the paranormal or your experiences believed to be connected with the paranormal to a level that you might not have been thinking about before. I would say that when I do write content in any of my books, I try very hard to play what is called good cop, bad cop. And basically, I like to definitely put my experiences out there, but I also like to try and bring some perspective to what I think is going on. And there are many, many, many theories out there by very credible people. And there's always a different, I'm going to call it flavor, of a paranormal experience that I seem to go through. And what I find interesting in my life is that the types of experiences I go through aren't necessarily demonic or evil. They just have a different way of presenting themselves. From that, I have been asked, and I keep bringing this up every show, when will I do book number 9? Well, if you want my honest opinion here, I'm trying to get my house cleaned while I have an opportunity to do so, and I'm talking, this is a great undertaking, but once I get through that mess, okay, I mini promise that I will try to establish and start writing book number 9. Now, of course, along with that goes one very frustrating situation for me right now. I do my best writing in Las Vegas. And although people and yourselves might be listening to this segment months down the road, right now, Las Vegas is completely closed down. Is this something that I need to learn, is how to write a book without that extra environmental stimuli that somehow seems to get me all worked up and going into writing? Do I need to learn how to do this a different way? What do I do? Or do I ride this storm out like all the rest of us are and then attack quickly when I think I see the right opportunity? To be determined, we'll talk about that at a later time. Okay, so tonight's episode will probably be on the following. I am going to start out with the haunted report. We're going to meet up with Mildred on Ghoulish Chatterbox, and then our main topic this evening is going to be on environmentally sensitive individuals and their connection to the paranormal. So I think that with the amount of information that I'm going to give you tonight, if you believe you have a high sensitivity or a high frequency in being able to pick up the paranormal, let's see after what I discuss tonight if you still feel that way. So, sit back, grab yourself a snack, and let's get on with The Haunted Report. Stay tuned.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. Well, today is a very special day for a couple of reasons. It gives me a moment to reflect back to a time 13 years ago when I photographed in a screened window in my grandparents' and great-grandparents' home the little girl and the older man who were looking right at me from that window. So for those of you out there who have any of my books, I would bet that I included that picture in that book somewhere. I would take a moment, especially if you have one of my books, to skim through to find the image of the older man and the young gal looking right at me from that house screened window. Today is also an interesting day. So I took that picture on May 7th, 2007. And today is May 7th, 2020. So that was exactly 13 years ago. That day was not on a weekday. It was, I believe, on a weekend. Don't quote me, because it might have been on a weekday. But what was different about this day was that when I photographed that image, all of this had come to light, and that was actually the start of my going after the paranormal very seriously at that point. It was overcast. There was a storm that had just ripped through that property the day before. I could feel the electricity in the air. Nobody was at that house. It was completely locked up. I was outside just taking pictures because my grandmother had passed a couple months prior to that, and I wanted to get some pictures of that house, I guess, post her death. My grandfather had passed away years prior to that, and then, of course, those that built the house were my great-grandparents, my great-grandmother's brother, who was a very wealthy construction person back then, businessman, who built many buildings that are still in use to this day. That included hospitals and colleges and all types of buildings. This house, as sad as it is to say, was burned down by a fire department training unit, 200 firemen learning how to deal with house fires. They only did like two a year. This was one of them for this year, I imagine. But anyway, it was an eight-hour process, and it was actually March. You know what? It was March 7th, 2 months ago, when the house was burned down. So there's a lot of very interesting date things going on in my family right now, because these dates of when something or an event is very significant seems to match up really closely with someone's birthday or something else that occurred on that day. I don't know, but there's some really interesting synchronicities that are happening in my family right now and have been for the past few years. So I haven't gotten into connecting the dots on that yet, but I thought you'd be interested in knowing that the famous house where that picture is so clear, for those of you who have my book, you should go and take a look at that, because you'll notice that today is the day. The other thing that's really interesting about today is that we are experiencing what is called a flower moon or a super moon. And I believe they said that this is the last super moon of this year. Don't quote me on that. I thought I read that somewhere. But what makes this unique is that the moon is extra large. And so I find that to be interesting, because during that period, a couple years ago on this day, I cannot even tell you what the moon phase was, because it was an overcast day when I shot the picture, first of all. I don't know what the moon phase was then. I just know that the energies there were so strong because of the, it's not tornado activity, but a really hard straight-lined wind, very similar to a tornado, ripped through that property, taking down trees and power lines and you name it. And so I was there for a couple different reasons other than just that. The one thing that made that situation also come to light is that the foundation of that home was limestone. Limestone is a very strong conductor of energy. So if that gets hit, for example, with a lightning rod or something like that, it'll like electrify the property or the immediate land or whatever. That's just one thing. But I just do recall walking around there. I was by myself. That was kind of creepy. It was very, very quiet and very peaceful, except for the sense and the feeling of that electromagnetic, staticky sounding radio kind of buzzing that was in the air. Probably simply because it also, I believe, knocked down a power line on that property that was still electrified at the time. So there you have it. That's the only report I'm going to give you about today, just because we're celebrating, I'm not even going to call it a birthday, the day that I actually photographed a very clear image of my relatives in the window. Now, sometimes people ask me, well, how do you know that they were your relatives? I did a lot of research from the moment I discovered that something was actually looking at me through that window. And it was actually my sister who pointed out the gentleman who was even a much clearer image staring right at me, and the little girl, both. She was smiling and he was curious, and it's very, very clear. Basically, I did a lot of research and it came down to a couple of things. One, for the little girl, she appears in the window to be about 6 years old, but she died a mile and a half down the road at the age of around 10 to 11 years old. What's also interesting about that is that she died of some, I don't want to call it a disease, but I don't know if it was scarlet fever or some kind of something that went around back then that hit these kids really hard. And they were having the worst time with their survival rate back then. And then, of course, a foster child that they brought in a couple years later, she also died from what they called quick pneumonia. But you're hearing a lot of reports these days on 1918, and how this influenza virus killed, or flu, I think was a flu, killed millions of people. Millions. You know, even though that happened then, I'm beginning to wonder now if something wasn't lingering a couple years later here, because she went down, this was the foster child, pretty fast. The gal that showed in the window to me, I have a picture of her, and her picture is styled exactly as shown as a little girl in that window. And then as far as the gentleman goes, it was ruled down to either my great-grandfather, because he actually built that house, or the doctor of the little girl. That was another thing. When I was trying to read up on stuff, I came across, you know, information that when the little girl died or passed away, that the doctor was really, really distraught that he couldn't save her. And, you know, if she's had anything to do with the type of stuff that's going around right now with this COVID stuff, I don't think anything could save anybody, especially when right now we have no vaccine at this point in time to help us with our own situation. So are we reliving another 100 years from ago? Because I'm beginning to wonder right now what's going on here. And so anyway, I'm going to believe that the man that showed himself to me in the window, that was actually over her shoulder, was probably my great-grandfather, and he was showing himself to be younger as well. And a lot of times when apparitions show themselves to people to be younger than they are, which I hear of many, many reports all the time, It is because they usually pass, when they pass away, or they're, when they're showing themselves, it was of a time that they probably felt most happiest or healthy or vibrant in their lives. And maybe even more, and also maybe more recognizable, because as we age, you know, unless people really embed in their minds how you looked at your later age, sometimes that distortion in and of itself can be a little tricky. All right. So the distortion of what we call face matrixing. Everybody wants to put a face on something, it seems like. That's something that our brain does naturally. And so the thing is that people would ask me, do you suppose when you see these people in the window that you actually see faces? Well, I'm going to tell you, I've showed that picture to many, many people, and there's no doubt in their minds as to what they've seen. All I have to say is, what do you see? Now, their face or their mind is automatically going to want to put faces to something, but I also put about 100 filters on that picture, and everything is about as clear as it can possibly be. Now, the other question that people would ask me is, how do you know that that was your relatives and not something more demonic or suspicious or like a trickster or something of that nature trying to suck you in to that moment so that way you would let your guard down and maybe they would potentially attempt to take possession or you know, mess with you or whatever the case may be. One will never, ever, ever really know that. I do know one thing. Every time I was on that property since, I've had experiences every time, not necessarily negative. A couple times where I was attacked once physically, and then another time where something was trying to take possession of my body, which took some doing to get it off and out of me. So it's very important that when you're ghost hunting, you ghost hunt with somebody else with you, that you understand at least how to protect yourself and how to leave when things start getting a little bit more critical. And as far as these images, they will always be my great aunt and my great grandfather. And even though I do know that there was a portal in that house in the basement, which of course, as we know now, is not there anymore, basically in a nutshell, it is very likely that other entities had also come into that location. The barn, which was also on that property, was also burned down March 7th, 2020. Same day. Very difficult to watch. I stood there the entire time and I watched it go down, thinking when I was there, seeing that entire house, you know, being burned to the ground. Again, 200 firefighters, trainees, very grateful for the opportunity to learn from a house like that. And also they were doing many things to with these trainees to assure their safety. And then of course, you know, what does the land look like now? Well, it's all been cleaned up. There's a few trees that are still standing that I know of. Probably one shed. And which should probably come down too. No barn completely cleared out, no house remnants completely gone, and probably eventually will be plowed into field, okay, into a field like all the rest. So that was it was in a rural area, and that's what I believe it ultimately is going to be used for. I would not advise anybody to even consider rebuilding a property on that land, especially over and above where that house used to be. I know there was a portal down in the basement. There was no doubt in my mind that there was other visitors coming and going, passing through that house on occasion. Not always do I even know my relatives were always there watching over that house, even though they're buried a mile to 2 miles away in a cemetery. There's a lot of questions that get asked when you're dealing with a house that used to be haunted and then is not there anymore. My question is today, since it's clear out, and I'm miles away. We're also under a stay-at-home order in my state. You can't go anywhere. I mean, you can, but it's got to be for serious reasons. My question is, now that the house is gone, and now that I know that, things have a tendency to be on that property, such as, other apparitions visiting or whatnot, will there be an apparition party where that house used to stand? Would something still think that the house is still standing? These are new questions that I may never, ever get an answer to. Because number one, my family doesn't own that property anymore. It was sold. And number two, I will always wonder if that's not going to be a hotbed for a gathering of the paranormal in some way, regardless of whether a structure resides there or not. I hope you found that a little interesting. It might bring questions to you about your own homes that you might have lived in or might have moved from or might have known that were torn down or burned down or still sit there in a very wreck type of being, situated in a way that probably is too dangerous to be around anymore. It does lend itself to gathering points and whether or not something would still come back there once it's gone. And that'll lead us into some other segments I'm hoping to get on the system in the next week here, so you can hear about some other things that have happened within the last couple weeks. Anyway, let's get into Mildred now. I think she's ready for her big debut again. I hope you enjoyed listening to this haunted report tonight. It is a very special memory for me. It's when it all began. And it's now a supermoon night where, of course, the final ending occurred exactly 2 months ago on the 7th. So, anyway, stay tuned and we'll get right into our next segment. Do you often sleep
with the lights on? Go to the store today.
Yes, Mildred, I think we need to head to the store to pick up a few things. But before we go, we need to make sure that we bring with us our masks. Maybe, do you have a pair of gloves?
A pair of gloves to go to the store?
Yes, Mildred, in order to go to the store, we either need to bring our sanitizer or we need to bring a pair of gloves. But one of the things we have to be really careful of is not to touch anything that we're not intending to buy. And secondly, to make sure that we wash our hands before and after we leave the store.
That doesn't make a lot of sense, Dr. Kelly. I don't really understand.
Well, Mildred, right now we are in a situation where we have a virus on the loose, and we have to be very, very careful not to get sick by this virus. And it's very sneaky. It's mysterious, and it hides in places that you can't see, and it even hides on people, so we have to be really, really careful.
Dr. Kelly, it sounds to me like we're not going into a store, we're going into a war zone.
Well, it's a lot like that, so just be ready to, we're going to get in and get out really quickly.
Okay, Dr. Kelly, all right.
Okay, so here we are, we're at the store. So let's look around to get a cart.
How about this cart, Dr. Kelly? This looks like a really good one. What do you think?
Seriously, Mildred? Seriously? You can't find any other cart that works better than that? Well, it looks to me like we don't have too many choices here, so it's going to have to do. All right, do you want to ride in the cart or do you want to walk alongside of me?
I'll walk alongside of you, Dr. Kelly.
Before we go into the store, we better spray this cart down.
Ew, stinky! Dr. Kelly, do we have to do this every time we go to the store?
Well, it sure looks like it, and we're probably going to have to do this for quite a long time. So get used to it, Mildred. Okay, now just chill out and relax, and we need to get in and get out of this store as fast as possible. Okay, so let's head over here to the produce aisle.
I hate shopping! By the way, what are we looking for in this aisle?
Radishes. And a few other things, too. Now, just chill out, Mildred. Come on, now. Now, just listen to this nice, calming music that this store has to offer us so we can have a very pleasant shopping experience today.
Scary and depressing. I hate shopping, Dr. Kelly. Can we go home now?
No, just chill out, Mildred. Now, let me see here. Where is the hamburger? Oh, for God's sakes. They moved the hamburger all the way down to the end of the row. Well, Mildred, it looks to me like we're in a bit of a pickle here because, you know, there's a whole bunch of people down there, and we're only supposed to be like 6 to 8 feet apart when we're shopping. So just hang on here. I think we're going to make a dash for it, okay?
Shopping was supposed to be a good experience.
It is a good experience. My goodness, if anything, we'll get our exercise. Well, let's see here. We need to go down a couple more aisles, and we better turn right here.
Dr. Kelly, hit the ground! I think she's gonna blow!
Achoo! Achoo! Achoo!
What happened to the back wheel?
I think we lost it in the bread aisle. Or was it a different aisle? I don't know. Dr. Kelly, let's get out of here. This place is dangerous, and with people so sick and coming in here, I don't really want to be here anymore.
Mildred, what's that in your back pocket anyway?
The spray bottle, silly. A girl's got to do what a girl's got to do to protect herself. You know, Dr. Kelly, I don't really like shopping. I don't like viruses, and I don't like running through aisles. And, you know, when you go shopping, you really need to just experience it in a way that makes you feel like you've accomplished something.
Well, all right, then. I guess we better just get our last few things here and better head up front where there's the checkout. And, oh, boy, look at that. You know, you and I really do need to come here when it's a lot less crowded, probably really late in the after the midnight hours or really early in the morning so we can get in and get out as fast as we can.
Dr. Kelly, why is that clerk wearing a space outfit?
Too many questions, Mildred. Too many questions. Now let's just enjoy this lovely music as we exit the store.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
The main topic that we're going to discuss this evening is environmental sensitivity and its correlation to the paranormal. This will be the educational portion of this podcast. Before we get started, I would like to give credit to Brandon Macello, who is a therapist, parapsychologist, and author of the book Ghost Studies, who discussed a few nights ago on the Para-X Radio Network how we interact and experience our personal phenomenon, not only with the environment, but with the perception that we are experiencing ghostly activity. And so I thought I would break this down just a little bit further for you. As you recall, especially for those of you who have been following my show, I have been trying to figure myself out for many, many years. My abilities are getting stronger. I don't understand why. I don't know what makes these abilities come and go at the level of the intensity of which I do experience. And every time somebody throws me a morsel or I hear something on another radio show, I sit up and I take note of it and I add it to my bag of thoughts. So tonight we are going to delve into the world of people who have what is perceived to be high sensitivity, frequency, and connection to the paranormal, whether it's intense or whether it's very subtle. We're going to see if we can somehow get closer to understanding ourselves, and of course, I understanding myself in this journey. Thank you to Brandon and the ParaX Radio Network for interviewing him a few nights ago. I think that what he had to offer was eye-opening and also inspiring to me to really grapple with understanding myself. So let's start out with kind of a short definition of what a highly sensitive person might be termed in the therapy world, okay? And there's I'm going to just use words or titles. SPS or HSP. Sensory Processing Sensitivity. Okay, that's SPS. HSP is Highly Sensitive Person. And what I found in research is that either of these titles, they're not a condition, they're not a disorder, but rather it appears that the individual who may be highly sensitive or can sense things better than most, who sometimes aren't, you know, the cues are in the way so you don't pay attention to what's going on out there. It claims in research that this is a neutral trait that evolves in 20% of the human population, and also in, I don't understand, a non-human species. Now, I'm not quite sure of that, but we're not going to delve into that. For some, it can be an advantage to have this extrasensory, and to others, it can be troublesome, okay? So let's break this down a little bit, and then we're going to move this into a direction. And while I'm talking tonight, I want you to ask yourself this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank yourself from a sensitivity or a high frequency perspective regarding the ability to be able to pick up things in the environment? Maybe more so than, let's say, your friend, okay? All right, so I'm going to read a little bit here. So if you're the type of person who reacts to sounds or strong smells, bright lights, crowds of people, according to this research, these are examples of things that people with high environmental sensitivity might struggle with. And this also might cause high stress levels as a result of certain social, physical, and emotional stimuli present in their surroundings. So when sometimes someone says, oh, it's just in your head, it may not be in their head, okay? And this brings me back a little bit to a brother. I have several siblings in my family. And I remember going into a state fair, and we went to the grandstand, and we went way up high, okay? We were quite a ways up there in the grandstand. We were getting ready to listen to a concert. I do recall now that my younger brother, who was very young at the time, 9, 10, something around that age, he just, as we kept going up higher, it seemed to bother his like he'd put his hands over his ears, and he wouldn't be able to handle that very well. For some reason, that the crowd, the sounds, the environment, it all bothered him so much that he took off running. Okay, and of course, if you're familiar with any large fair, especially the fair that represents Minnesota, the crowds are so large that you can lose somebody just 5 feet away from you. Anyway, so the one thing that I've noted of my brother over time is that he seems to be awfully reactive and very, very sensitive. Okay, and so I can tell you from my perspective, from me, high environmental sensitivity refers to more severe reactions to the environment. And again, that involves lots of people not feeling comfortable. They have a lower threshold for sounds. They're sensitive to all kinds of conversations, smells, light. And it's often difficult for someone to be socially or physically comfortable in a work environment or place that might be comfortable to other people. And so they're asking, why do we suffer and where is this coming from? So this article is saying that high environmental sensitivity is not a new issue and that it's been studied for a long time, but and also the effects of the environment, not only on our bodies, but on our minds. And I'm just kind of reading here a little bit, see if there's anything that might jump out. Introversion and environmental sensitivity. Let's see here. Harvard University was able to demonstrate that brains of introverted people show a high environmental sensitivity. Yeah? Well, you know, there are times when I can relate this a little bit to myself, and maybe you can relate to this too. I would call myself a borderline introvert extrovert. So I would say that in certain things, I don't mind being out there and more, you know, vocal or expressive or whatever. And then there are other times when I would rather just be left alone, okay? But let's see. So it says here that on average, an introverted personality type leads to greater attention to details, daily details. And that this attention often generates an overload where there is excessive stimulation in an environment. Okay, so when we talk about overload, we're talking about cues. When we're talking about things that are happening in the environment. So for example, when I talked a little bit in the beginning about photographing my relatives in the screened window, I could hear, literally, because it was buzzing so loudly, the electricity in the air. You know, most of you know what I'm talking about. When it gets that intense, certain sounds, sometimes I can hear certain things. And you might know people, or you might know of yourself, to be able to hear things that others sometimes are going, I don't hear anything. And so it says here that excess of stimuli can be auditory, yep, visual, yep, tactile, causes a higher level of stress and exhaustion in these people, yep, wears you down. And people with high environmental sensitivity also tend to have a higher sensitivity to the emotions of others, yep, as well as to anxiety, worries, or fear. And these people are also able to pick up on certain things in the atmosphere and are unable to filter them out. And so this is why someone might be titled someone who has a high environmental sensitivity. And that includes haunted buildings or places or picking up on certain feelings or your body is very much an organ that can sense a lot of things. It's whether or not you're present in the moment to want to understand or receive cues or conditions, and a lot of us have learned over time to tune them out. It's too exhausting, okay? I can speak only for myself on this, and I know some of you would probably be able to relate. You know how there are some people that just, they don't even have to say anything, and they just wear you down. They're called, you know, energy vampires is what they're called. These individuals wear a person down who has a high sensitivity because we feel everything. Let's see what else it has to say here that might be of interest. Oh, let me go on to it. Just give me a second here. I'm going to... Okay, here. Here's some. uncomfortable when it comes to bright lights, sounds, certain smells, especially when you're going to get sick, right? Sudden sounds like a car breaking, a door closing, glass breaking. I used to get a lot of grief because I have a very low threshold when it comes to children crying. And I know for the parent out there, you probably get used to it over time and it probably doesn't bother you as much. But for someone with an extremely high sensitivity, it's almost like taking your fingernails and scratching them down a chalkboard. There's just some type of intensity within the pitch of the sound that has a tendency to crawl up a person's nerves, causing a lot of stress. And that doesn't just relate to children. This relates to things on television, when the telephone rings. I mean, have you ever noticed there's certain sounds that just make you crawl, your skin crawl? Highly sensitive people are often very affected when they listen or hear about bad news. I can't even watch Westerns because I can actually feel the bullet penetrate into the other person, even though it might be, there is no bullet, but I can feel that, you know, just from the sensitivity of that whole act. It just drives me nuts. It's also common for these people to feel angry, sad, or disappointed when they see or read situations that seem unfair or violent. Yep, every day. I can't even watch the news anymore. I mean, they're trying to put more happy things on the news right now, but because of the depression that we're all experiencing, or most of us, regarding this COVID outbreak. But the bottom line is that, you know, I don't know what it is, but when they start showing stuff, that's really horrible, you know. I don't even know why they go and show things to the extreme that they do. You know, it just wears a person down. These things can cause headaches, fatigue, or skin problems. Ways of dealing with it, of course, try to not be in high volume areas. Well, that's not always easy to do. Work on your relaxation. Take some times to take a break. Get more sleep. And try to avoid putting yourself into situations that cause high emotion. That's not easy either. Okay. Try to find ways to filter out the stimuli to protect yourself against high environmental sensitivity affecting your productivity, your emotional state of being. Okay. That gives you a little bit of a framework of a highly sensitive person when we talk about things in the environment. Now, how do we relate that to the paranormal? Well, I'm going to use the word cues as one thing, or a feeling as another thing. I'm going to also use observation, details, maybe even fear. So when you have all of these little factors playing against you, sometimes depending on where your smells, have you ever gone on a ghost hunting situation? And one of the things that you do notice is smells and mustiness sometimes, or places you are at that molds, and all these things affect you, which also in turn affect your brain. 10 signs of high environmental sensitivity. I'm going to go a little bit further on this and see if I can add a little bit more to it. It does say that high sensitivity to the environment can often be compared to something that negatively impacts your life. Now that's a little bit difficult to explain. So let's relate this to the paranormal for a moment. How do you know that what you're experiencing is negative? Do you get scratched? Do you get pushed? Do you feel like something is taking over your body, so you feel a little bit drained and completely wiped out? How do we know, as a highly sensitive person, to decipher between a negative situation or one that's just trying to call themselves to your attention, okay? And again, a lot of people who are highly sensitive will say, well, it's a feeling. I had a feeling. There's a feeling I get. The other thing about this is that it says for many sensitive people, the key to managing oversensitivity is to utilize emotional immunity and sensory immunity strategies to calm yourself from the overstimulation. Now, that's not easy to do, especially when you do ghost hunting or you go out there seeking something, because the bottom line is you have to open up your senses if you're going to attempt to figure something out. Okay, so now on a scale of 1 to 10, with your frequency, your ability to pick up things, you're hardwired a little bit differently. Do you feel that you are somebody who fits this category? I guess that's what I want to say. There's another thing that says 23 signs that you're a highly sensitive person. I wanted to read this because this all relates to somebody who has a lot of experiences or some experiences with the paranormal. You know, highly sensitive people do get stressed out by stimuli, and they can also make themselves sick from this. Now, they don't claim that this is a disorder. They might feel that, remember they say that most of us only use 10% of our brains? Okay, and what would happen if we used more of it? I beg to differ what might happen, but I do understand that very well. There are some, especially when you're dealing with clairvoyance, some really good psychics, some really good healers, they seem to be able to utilize or use their brain in a much grander, at a much grander scale than the average person who does not. All right, so here we go. You are a highly sensitive person if, number one, you startle easily. Number two, you need to spend plenty of time alone, even if you're an extrovert. Number three, you read or hear about violent things and you have a strong negative reaction or emotion to that. When you experience beauty, you have a strong positive reaction. Strong smells hit you harder than others. When you're a kid, you were very picky about the clothing you wore based on the choices of how you felt that day, including the fabrics against your skin. Deadlines and pressures. You're very sensitive to making sure you meet your deadlines. When you were a kid, your parents or teachers may have called you shy or quiet, but yet you can be extroverted in situations. It just depends on picking and choosing that situation. You get overwhelmed in busy places like bars, clubs, concerts, parties, and festivals. You have vivid daydreams or nightmares, and there's always a lot on your mind. You're always searching for meaning, whether it's through your relationships, religious beliefs, or worldview. You notice things that other people miss. You feel like you absorb things from the environment more so than anyone else. You cry easily. You seek meaning in your romantic relationships and also your relationships. And you often think about the deeper meaning of life. Times of transition are difficult for you. When something is ending, you may have trouble letting it go. When you're very hungry, you have a hard time concentrating because all you think about is food. If someone is watching you do something, you may become so nervous and shaky that you actually do it worse. How many of us just love having people watch us? You take great pains to arrange your life in a way that keeps you from being overly stimulated. You need more sleep than other people. So now the question is, how many of these make sense to you? Not everybody has these traits, okay? You are a highly sensitive person. No question at all, if you can answer for the majority of what I just said, that you fit that bill. Now relate that to the paranormal. So it's bad enough that you're sensitive to everything around you, but that might also explain why some of us pick up cues in the environment a little bit more quickly, have more experiences than others. Even when we're not looking or seeking seeking it, it still comes to us. Some of the skeptics would explain everything away. Some of the believers would say, no, I'm not explaining this away. This is definitely something unusual and paranormal. But then again, the bottom line is always, with a sensitive, highly sensitive person, especially one with abilities that are strengthening, I myself am beginning to wonder what is happening in my brain that may be more than 20%. Okay. Anyway, it's always a challenge when you're a highly sensitive person. That looks like it's going to be it for tonight. I'm going to be loading a couple more podcasts here in the next couple days. So please stay tuned, and thank you again for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series, and hope to bring you some more interesting segments and episodes in the future. Thank you and good night.